from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo orders state-owned companies to adapt to changes. Indonesia and Germany strengthen industrial cooperation 4.0. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered all state-owned companies to move quickly to adapt themselves to changes with regard to taking economic opportunities. President Jokowi stated when inaugurating the Telkom Hub area on Thursday evening, it is not an era for state-owned companies to begin to be rigid and bureaucratic with regard to decision-making. He called on the state-owned companies to innovate to change and grab business opportunities that come their way. He also ordered them to make use of assets available in order to reach out to consumers quickly. President Jokowi called on the millennial generation at state-owned companies to innovate and develop their companies. He emphasized that a big or smart idea must also be followed by smart execution, commitment, and hard work. On the occasion, a millennial BUMN meeting was held, which was attended by thousands of youth who work at the state-owned companies. The monthly meeting is held as a forum of exchange of experience and synergy among millennial generation members. President Joko Widodo has said that his government would continue to push for the development of startup companies and digital economy in the country. The president said, assuring the government's seriousness in his speech at the inauguration of the Telkom Hub on Thursday evening, Indonesia has already had an Indonesia e-commerce roadmap that is ready to be implemented. He hoped the young people of Indonesia could be builders of digital applications useful for people's economy. The president also said the potential of digital world in Indonesia was still large, with internet users in the country reaching around 132 million. In addition, there are 130 million users of social media, as well as demographic bonus of millennials that would give an opportunity for digital business development in the future. Jokowi hoped the number of people who could develop startups, now totaling 2,739, would increase. The emergence of digital technology is very fast and has the potential of changing economy, cultural, and even political landscape. President Jokowi called on state-owned companies in the country to take the opportunity correctly so that they would not be left behind. The search and rescue team handed over the retrieved black box of Lion Air GT610 to the National Transportation Safety Committee KNKT, an official of the National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas stated. The National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas Director for Training and Preparedness Didi Hamjar remarked on Thursday that head of the research and rescue team reported the finding to the Basarnas chief and then handed over to the KNKT. A joint team of divers has found and lifted the black box of the Lion Air flight JT610 that crashed into the Karawang waters in West Java on Monday. The black box has been brought to the Tanjung Priok port and handed over to the National Transportation Safety Committee for further investigation. The black box was found at a depth of 25 to 35 meters on the seabed, some 100 meters from the estimated position. The chief of the National Search and Rescue Agency, Basarnas M. Sogi, said on Thursday that a total of 65 bags of bodies had been collected following the crash of Lion Air JT610 plane in Karawang on Monday. All the bags had been taken to the police hospital in Kramat Jati, East Jakarta, for identification. He said in a press conference that the use of remote operating vehicle ROV had made efforts to collect debris of the crash easier. He said besides bodies, ROV also found debris, including landing gear and other parts of the plane's body. Some of their finds were monitored behind the ship used by the team and saw the team camp full areas. He said there were a lot of diverse info from the National Search and Rescue Agency, the military, the police, Sea Security Agency and volunteers that spread in four sectors. Visibility was only 3 meters. Search efforts were stopped as night fell, but monitoring process by ROV continued. Sogi appreciated the great divers who have worked very well. Lion Air flight JT610 plane crashed only 15 minutes after taking off at 6:20 a.m. from Jakarta on its way to Pangkal Pinang in Bangka Belitung province in Sumatra with 189 people on board on Monday. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Minister of Economy and Energy of the Federal Republic of Germany, Peter Altmaier, at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday. The President was accompanied by the head of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Thomas Lembong, and the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, Ignatius Jonan. After the meeting, Thomas Lembong explained that President Jokowi and Minister Altmaier discussed the Industrial Revolution 4.0.
Jerman sangat kuat di industrial internet atau B2B, korporat ke korporat, tapi masih lemah di...
Germany is very strong in industrial internet or B2B, from corporate to corporate, but still weak in B2C, business to consumer. While we are strong in B2C, like Tokopedia, Traveloka, Bukalapak, it's all B2C. That's an example where our strengths complement each other. Interestingly, the minister conveyed perhaps the most important of 4.0 industrial technology was artificial intelligence, machine intelligence. In his opinion, it was the most powerful creation since the steam engine 200 years ago. In the future, in the industrial field, machine intelligence will be the same as the impact of electricity. All machines, all production will be powered by machine intelligence. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Thomas Lembong, said President Jokowi and Minister Altmaier also discussed vocational education. This has actually been discussed by Indonesia and Germany during Jokowi's visit to Germany 3 years ago. Vocational education in this case is vocational training, practical skills for workers to master mechanical engineering, machinery such as industrial machinery, automotive machinery. Regarding the Industry 4.0 or the Fourth Industrial Revolution, they talk about robotic and automation. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, has encouraged regional governments in the country to optimize new renewable energy sources in an effort to provide efficient and environmental friendly energy sources. Head of Research and Development Center for Electricity Technology, New Energy, Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Yunus Saiful Haq, said on Thursday that there was much potential that can be explored. Saiful Haq remarked that new renewable energy can be used the potential of local energy, such as solar or water energy, which is considered suitable for remote areas. In addition, there is the potential for power plants that utilize wind, waste geothermal or hydro-micro, which can be used as new energy sources. This type of plant can be an option for local governments to meet the needs of people for electricity. He expressed readiness to support local governments to conduct studies ranging from feasibility studies and detailed engineering decision to sale and purchase agreement with state-owned electricity company PLN. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut B. Panjaitan remarked that the Manado Declaration was a real action taken by the Archipelagic and Island States AIS to face the threat of climate change. Panjaitan said on Thursday that the AIS forum can be a place to share knowledge and to look for smart and creative solutions that can be used by others. The minister expected the forum to encourage business involvement and create innovation solutions to fund climate change projects as well as achieve sustainable development goals. The Manado Declaration includes action on climate change mitigation and adaptation, blue economy, sustainable marine resources, and innovative financing mechanism. The Archipelagic and Island States AIS Forum was initiated by the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs together with the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP. AIS is a platform for member countries to engage and collaborate with all stakeholders, civil, socially, and academics. The minister stated that archipelagic and island countries have optimism and innovation to solve various problems effectively. As the largest archipelago in the world, Indonesia takes the role of leading and establishing new financing mechanisms to support climate change initiative and development projects in member countries. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Migrant Issue for President Donald Trump. United States President Donald Trump feels uncomfortable with the issue of immigration who come into the United States from the Central American region. Even though there is little appreciation for the steps of Mexico to prevent the abundant flow of immigrants to the United States, President Trump is still deploying troops to the border region. At least more than 5,000 troops equipped with light ammunition had been ordered to oversee the border. This means that President Trump does not give an opportunity to illegal immigrants who try to enter the United States. Moreover, ahead of the by-elections in the United States of America, President Trump does not want to lose momentum in order to prevent Democrats from getting seats in the parliament. He made the entry of the immigrants as the main issue in this by-election. What President Trump does is not the same as the previous policy. For the migrants who have entered the United States, President Trump will build a tent city for their shelters. They will be in this shelter for 3 years until their asylum application is accepted. Children born during that period will no longer automatically obtain U.S. citizenship status. President Trump hopes that with this policy, there are no more immigrants who want to enter the United States. In the previous policy, migrants were released when applying for asylum. When there is a decision, the migrants do not appear at the trial. Trump no longer applies this. What Trump does is that the U.S. government puts priority to be implemented at the moment. In this case, the door for migrants to U.S. land is closed. His policy that does not directly provide asylum is the prerogative right of the President Donald Trump. What many people are waiting for is President Trump's consistent attitude on this issue. So the fate of migrants who have entered the United States and asked for asylum is positively clear. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. The first information is that Indonesia and the Netherlands signed the Agreement of the Round Table Conference in The Hague on November 2, 1949. The Roundtable Conference was a meeting held among the representatives of Indonesia, the Netherlands, and the BFO, or Bienkomst for Federal Overlock, on an authority representing various countries established by the Netherlands in the Indonesian archipelago. The conference was carried out in The Hague, the Netherlands, from August 23 to November 2, 1949. Before the Roundtable Conference, three summits were held earlier between Indonesia and the Netherlands, namely the Linggarjati Agreement in 1947, the Renville Agreement 1948, and the Rumroyan Agreement 1949. The conference produced a final concession that the Netherlands were willing to return the sovereignty to Republik Indonesia Serikat, or the United of Republic of Indonesia. The conference was officially closed at the Dutch Parliamentary House on November 2, 1949. Next, on November 2, 1963, the first president of South Vietnam, Ngo Dinh Diem, was assassinated in a military coup. Ngo Dinh Diem Jean-Baptiste was the uncle of Cardinal François Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan. When the Ngo Dinh Diem's regime was protested by the Buddhist monks on May 1963, the United States of America stopped providing their assistances for Vietnam. A number of monks publicly burned themselves in a bid to show their protest, which disturbed the U.S. because of Diem's wrecked reputation. Diem and Madame Nu claimed that the communism had been penetrated in Buddhist monks. Their strategy to cease the protest was in accordance to the anti-communism policy which had been previously consented. Ngo Dinh Diem Jean-Baptiste faced a military coup done by an armed force led by Duong Phan Minh. Duong Phan Minh and his group toppled the Ngo Dinh Diem's regime and assassinated President Diem, who was 62 years old, and his brother Ngo Dinh Nu on November 2, 1963. The U.S. admitted their disappointment and shock regarding the assassination of Diem. It was a coincidence that 20 days later President John F. Kennedy was assassinated too. Some Vietnamese people believed that it was President Diem who took a revenge on President Kennedy because President Kennedy agreed with the coup attempt. The last information is that on November 2, 1964, Saudi Arabian King, King Saud, was superseded by his stepbrother King Faisal in a family coup attempt. Saud ibn Abdul Al-Aziz Al-Saud was born on January 12, 1902.
He was the king of Saudi Arabia from 1953 to November 2, 1964. He was the oldest son of King Ibn Saud. Then he was crowned as a prince on May 11, 1933, and he was appointed as a king, replacing his father in 1953. During his regime, there were many government offices built next to the King Saud University in Riyadh. A lot of King Saud's families expressed their dissatisfaction during the regime of King Saud. Even the King Saud families fought against him for power, and this was supported by the main group. Even though Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud was the most eligible heir of the throne, he did not want to accept the position, and instead he supported his stepbrother Faisal bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud to be designated as the king on November 2, 1964. King Saud resided in Switzerland after being exiled from Saudi Arabia. He passed away in Athens, Greece, in the age of 67 in 1969. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, I will bring you a topic about the agreement between Indonesia and Norway to develop partnerships in various fields. Indonesia and Norway agreed to enhance bilateral cooperation in trade and investment affairs. The agreement of developing cooperation in the two sectors was made at the fourth Joint Commission meeting on bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Norway, which was followed up by a dialogue session on human rights issue between the two countries on Sunday, October 28. The meeting was attended by foreign affairs ministries of both countries. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi pointed out that especially for environmental issues, the two countries discussed forestry, energy, renewable energies aspects, and plan to hold the Indonesia-Norway Business and Energy Forum in the upcoming 2019. Minister Retno Marsudi stated in her press statement on Sunday that a cooperation program called RED++ was highlighted at the meeting regarding the cooperation on environment and forestry. The program contributes to the resolution of climate change. Her side also discussed various efforts in a bid to strengthen cooperation on energy and renewable energy affairs. She pointed out that the Indonesian government would welcome the Indonesian and Norwegian participants in the Business and Energy Forum to be held next year. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi remarked that the one-hour meeting also discussed illegal fishing and the simultaneous development of maritime economy. In addition, maritime and fishery were also discussed at the meeting, particularly in a bid to eradicate illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, as well as develop simultaneous maritime economy. According to Minister Retno, the commitment of realizing the cooperation was proven through the signing of the letter of intent regarding maritime and fishery cooperation carried out during the implementation of Our Ocean Conference 2018, held from October 29 to 30. Meanwhile, Norwegian Foreign Affairs Minister Ine Eriksen Søreide said that the two countries are committed to cooperating more intensively, particularly regarding the issues of human rights, deforestation, and maritime. Her side is also glad for being able to achieve progress in a joint commission dialogue on bilateral human rights cooperation. According to Ina, Norway is also inspired by Indonesia and learns a lot of things from Indonesia, as the host of the Our Ocean Conference 2018. Moreover, Norway will host the 2019 OOC, or Our Ocean Conference, the first joint commission between Indonesia and Norway, and the 13th Dialogue on Human Rights between Indonesia and Norway on Sunday in Nusa Dua, Bali, participated in by foreign affairs ministries. The ministries discussed the strengthening of economic and trade cooperation, as the two fields are the essential aspects of Indonesian and Norwegian partnerships. The two countries are also committed to continuing cooperation on the two areas by empowering the potentials of both countries. Indonesia also perceives the positive development of the Indonesian-European Free Trade Association Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, EFTA-SIEPA. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered all state-owned companies to move quickly to adapt themselves to changes with regard to taking economic opportunities. President Joko Widodo has said that his government would continue to push for the development of start-up companies and digital economy in the country. The search and rescue team handed over the retrieved black box of Lion Air JT610 to the National Transportation Safety Committee, an official of the National Search and Rescue Agency stated. The chief of National Search and Rescue Agency, M. Sogi, said on Thursday that a total of 65 bags of bodies had been collected following the crash of Lion Air JT610 plane in Karawang on Monday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Minister of Economy and Energy of Federal Republic of Germany Peter Altmaier at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, on Thursday. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has encouraged regional governments in the country to optimize new renewable energy sources in an effort to provide efficient and environmental-friendly energy sources. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut B. Panjaitan remarked that the Manado Declaration was a real action taken by the archipelagic and island states to face the threat of climate change. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Tanggul Dance. So stay tuned with us into RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, Bojonegoro Regency East Java will perform Tanggul Dance massively by involving 120 dancers on 24th until 25th November 2018. The dance will be performed at Design Relief Competition, namely Gajah Watu Jodo, at X Mining of Limestone at Gajah Village, Baruno Sub-District. Besides the mass Tanggul Dance, The activity of design relief competition will be also enlivened by singers and artists from Jakarta. Today's Indonesia Wonder will introduce Tanggul Dance to be performed at Relief Gajah Watu Jodo. Listeners, Tanggul Dance is traditional dance which was inspired by Wayang Tanggul from Bojonegoro, East Java. The dance is usually performed by dancers in groups with movements, expression, and costume that are similar to Tanggul Puppet, the three-dimension puppet. Tanggul Dance is a creation dance created for art and a form of appreciation and an effort to raise Tanggul puppet art, which is almost extinct in development era. The new creation dance was created in 1990s by Joko Santoso and Ibnu Sutawa over the demand of Education and Cultural Board of Bojonegoro Regency. This was performed at Cultural Fair of East Java Province. After performing the agenda, in fact, the Tanggul Dance got warm welcome and won category of the best performance. Since that time, the dance has been known and becomes one of Bojonegoro's traditional dances. Listeners, Tanggul Dance is usually performed by 7 female dancers. The dancers dance with rigid movement and funny expression that becomes one of the characteristics of the dance. So it gives humorous image and entertains every show. The dancers wear costume and white makeup such as doll. The face of dancers is decorated with white and black line to the hair, eyebrow and eyes. For the costume, the upper part uses costume like kemben and the lower part uses long clothes bercorak bledak. Bledak style is the style with the white background, ivory white and cream. The head part uses cunduk such as accessories on the head. Well, listeners, at the performance, Tanggul Dance is accompanied with traditional music such as oklik, itik-itik, biola, and gamelan larasendro. In addition to supporting sound music, it is also accompanied with tembang. Now, Tanggul Dance is preserved continuously by being performed at the Festival of Culture in Bojonegoro or in another region. It is also often performed to welcome distinguished guests coming to Bojonegoro. Listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Tanggul Dance. We will see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. See you!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. Today, we present you about School Literacy Festival. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, welcoming Youth Pledge Day, the Ministry of Education and Culture again organized the School Literacy Festival from 28th to 21st October 2018. This year's festival theme is Literacy in Building Lifelong Learners. Director General of Primary and Secondary Education, Hamid Muhammad, explains the festival is a literacy celebration that accommodates school children, teachers, and principal literacy activities, manager of community reading parks, non-governmental organizations, academics, publishers, partner institutions, and parents. The opening of the festival was centered at the Plaza Insan Berprestasi of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Senayan, Jakarta, on Sunday morning. At this festival, literacy exhibition was held in the area of the Plaza Insan Berprestasi, Ki Hajar Dewantoro Building, at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Senayan, in Jakarta. During the festival, there were various activities, such as interactive discussion, literacy training, book launches, and film screenings. Besides, a literacy contest was also organized, and it was coordinated by its technical directorate. The competition was held in several locations around Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. For the elementary school level, a short story writing contest, poetry reading, poem creation, poetry, and storytelling were held. For the junior high school, there was a short story competition, poetry creation, storytelling, and Indonesian language debate. While for the high school level, there was a short story competition, poetry creation, and comic creation. Meanwhile, the Directorate of Vocational Middle School Development held a local vocational wisdom story competition, vocational reading angle, creation of archipelago vocational leaders electronic books, and moving vocational literacy modes. For higher education, the festival participants also held a storytelling and poetry reading contest, made a synopsis, created comic strip, read poetry, and made creative writing. Listeners, through Literacy Festival, it is expected to arouse public awareness that literacy is a part of everyday life. Literacy is neither new nor exclusive. Literacy can be celebrated every day. In addition, Director General Hamid said that the festival is able to bridge relations among schools, communities, and families in a joint movement, namely the literacy movement. By bringing together all literacy stakeholders, a network of literacy will be established and collaboration will emerge. Through joint movements and collaboration among literacy stakeholders, it is hoped that the country's civilization will become more advanced and prosperous. Listeners, that was Miscellany for today featuring School Literacy Festival. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Bangka Belitung. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Ketimun Bungkuk from Jambi. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or RRI Play application.
Thank you.
Listeners, that was the first song entitled Ketimun Bungkuk, sung by Nana Sabrina. The song from Jambi is created by Yahya Ebi. The song tells about someone who lives with full temptation. However, at the end of lyric of Ketimun Bungkuk, advices in life get neither happiness nor temptation. Life always revolves. Therefore, after getting temptation, happiness will come. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Selendang Mayang. Enjoy the song.
Selendang mayang, rambutnya merah sebelah tu.
Listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Selendang Mayang, sung by Lina Kamsan. Like Jambi's original song in general, the lyric of the song also contains of rhyme because Jambi people are influenced by Malayan people. The song has meaning about skill in carrying out the duty. So someone in doing a job should be agile and nimble. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Batang Hari. That was Batang Hari sung by Susi. The song tells about Batang Hari River. The river is the longest one in Sumatra and becomes well known as tourism object in Jambi province. The song describes Batang Hari River which has calm water stream, but the water stream is heavy. Listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Dodoy Si Dodoy, sung by Victor Huta Barat. The song is sung not only kids' bedtime, but also the mother's anxiety. Hopefully, her children can hear and understand. Listeners, here is Dodoy Si Dodoy. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.